took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, welcome to another episode, I guess we could use that word, of Glorious Day. I'm Pastor David, and I'm with...
Pastor Barry.
Hello. It's great to be with you, brother.
Good to see you,
we
too.
We're kind of excited tonight, more than we normally are, which is quite excited, because these next three programs, and you know we love to do themes that are linked for the three programs.
Oh, yeah.
You know what's coming up is Christmas, the birth of Christ, a celebration of the gift that God gave us.
The real gift.
The real gift, yeah. Mm-hmm. Not that thing you got from Amazon, you know, that you wrapped up real quick and threw under the tree.
Or the dollar store toy you got from Aunt Marie.
There you go, because Aunt Marie, well, you know all about Aunt Marie. But
she did put a bow on it.
She did put a bow, and of course, my wife and her whole family, they save those. They recycle them. I think some of the bows are 30 years old.
Yes, I have a spouse of 45 years who likes to gently take the tape off the packaging so she could rewrap it with that paper.
Yeah, I made a ruling several years ago.
Oh, did you?
Yes, I did, because I was tired of having all that old paper build up. So I just said, tear it up. Let's get into that gift.
Yeah.
You know, but now we don't really do gifts anymore. It's just my wife and I, and we just love each other. And
that's a gift.
That's a gift. That's probably the biggest gift. Speaking of that, that's the gift of love. We're going to be talking about, and as we build up to the third program, which will air on the 26th of December, the day after Christmas. But it's still within the Christmas season, because many people, there's a 12-day period.
Well, sure, and if it's the 5:30 a.m. program, you're still technically only a few hours away from Christmas Day.
That's true, and although you might still be sleeping from the party you went to the night before. We have no idea. We hope that you're going to church, and then you're going sleeping late because you got in late. But so we're going to be looking at the Gospel of Luke, which has the best, not that the other Gospels aren't really good, but I mean Luke has the most complete when it talks about this, not just the story of the birth of Christ, but what precedes it. There's two important things. The Annunciation, that's when the angel Gabriel, Archangel Gabriel, comes to Mary to announce to her that God has chosen her to bear his son. And then that's this week. We're going to read that. Barry's going to read that scripture, and then we're going to just unpack it as the Spirit leads us.
Amen, brother.
And then next week it's going to be Mary visits Elizabeth. And you know Elizabeth, who was barren, she's going to have John the Baptist. And so, of course, they're going to be getting together later on down the road, but that's a significant part of this. We're going to be talking about that.
We get to witness in these scriptures the beginning of the plan of salvation that is so beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
it's powerful. And then, of course, December 26th, the birth of Jesus and all that goes with that and what comes out of that. So anyway, Barry, brother, if you would read, and Barry's going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, verses 26 through 35.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and considered in her mind what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, since I have no husband?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God."
Mm.
Oh, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. Amen. Powerful scripture.
It always is. And you could read this 1,000 times and get the same chills in your spine.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's several angles that we can approach that. And I have a couple thoughts. But since you read this scripture, I'd like to ask you to roll out what God has given you, brother.
I want to put things in perspective. Mary was a good Jewish woman,
mm-hmm.
I'll bet very young.
Yes.
I mean, we hear ages thrown about of 15, 16 years old. And you have to wonder, it is a wonderful moment, but you have to wonder what was going through her mind as someone of that age.
Right.
Perhaps in her mind, she had a whole life planned out, David. I'm going to get married. I'm going to have 4 children, maybe 5. I've already got the names picked out. Fellas, all you guys out there, when you're seriously dating a woman, that's already going through her mind.
Pretty much, yeah, pretty much.
Yes, I hope he has my eyes, not his, because his are crossed, whatever it is. But the thing is, you know, this was a very young woman. And as we see through these scriptures as we move on, just how incredibly courageous and brave and trusting Mary truly is.
Yes, yeah.
Because she made herself the maidservant of God.
Yeah.
Now, David and I have both raised daughters, and you know, we've taught a little bit here and there, so we've been around young people, particularly young teenage girls. Teenage boys, that's a whole nother story for a whole nother program.
Yes.
But sometimes girls can, you know, stamp their feet a little bit and say, no, that's not my plan. This is what I'm going to do. And anything you say, I'm going to put my hands on my ears and say, la, 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 la. But
yeah.
Here we have Mary, and without question, she steps up.
Yeah.
Steps up to the plate. Yes, yes. This is not because she's conceited. This is not because she thinks, well, I've always thought I should be the mother of God. No. She's just someone who's in love with God and is obedient and humble, full of humility, and bows her head and says, "Yes, Lord."
Amen.
How impressive is that?
That's a powerful testimony. And, you know, we need to get, as we're doing now, get between the lines in the scripture to understand a few things, because her faith impresses me, and I hope that impresses our listeners, when you realize that she was agreeing with God to have his son grow in her womb.
Mm.
But at the same time, she was agreeing to really be an unwed pregnant mother.
Yes.
Teenage mother.
In the times and the culture and the law that they lived under, this is a big deal, ladies and gentlemen. Because if a young lady in a Jewish community suddenly became pregnant, eyebrows would be raised. There'd probably be a knock at the door from one of the priests or a Pharisee who wanted to give his opinion of what the law dictates that they should do to her.
Well, pretty much, you know, that she could have been stoned.
Sure.
According to Jewish law, stoned to death for basically doing that. Of course, Joseph played a role in that because he decided not to divorce her, which was, we don't understand Jewish marriage laws or the way they were back then, but you could, often the marriages were arranged.
Yes.
So, and Joseph may likely have been an older man, not terribly older, but already kind of established, as often happens. And thankfully probably wiser too, as a result. Also a devoted man, and we know from reading the Gospels that he was a devout man of God too.
Mm-hmm.
God spoke to him in dreams, and he saved his family. But right at that point, you know, Joseph could have said, "Yeah, let's just not do this." But had that occurred, now we know it didn't. Thank God it didn't. It wasn't intended to occur any other way than it did. But just for Mary, just to think now for a minute, all that was going through her head, she said yes to God, but then she realized, you know, Clearly, I'm going to start showing after a while.
Well, sure.
And I don't have a husband. Mm-hmm. I'm still living in my father's home.
Right.
I could be in serious trouble. Back then, if they weren't stoned, a woman was turned out from her. She was basically thrown out into the street.
Door. Right, right.
And then she had only two options. She could starve to death or turn to prostitution.
Hmm.
And the only two choices she would have had.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she knew this because, I mean, she lived in the culture. She probably had seen other women go through that. And so this was what, at that point, think a minute how strong her faith was, how devoted she was to God. She trusted him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when she could see in front of her the potential sentence that her own culture would deliver to
Absolutely.
Her.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
But she trusted God to deliver her mm-hmm. from that, and he did, of course.
He did. And I love the fact that we're peeking in on an intimate conversation between Gabriel and Mary.
Mm.
Yeah. That's kind of cool, David, because I don't know about you, but if I was suddenly talking to an angel,
yeah.
I'm not sure I'd be able to make as much sense as she did.
Well,
because,
yeah.
You know, she was greatly afraid, but she was able to ask questions.
Right.
She wasn't paralyzed with fear.
No, and I think that that's part of the grace of God given. Mm. You know, you talk about faith, and here's a woman of faith. Faith enables us to do things for God that, you know, would frighten us otherwise.
Well, sure.
And so I think the gift of faith was not that the gift of faith kept her from having other choices. I mean, her free will was intact,
mm-hmm.
you know. But it enabled her to have the peace to consider what was being delivered to her. You know, and when you look at that story, if you had nothing else but that to look at in terms of how do I understand my own walk with God? How do I understand the faith life?
Mm-hmm, right.
That we could look at that and say, well, the faith life is a gift from God that enables us to have peace with what he wants us to do.
Right.
Yeah, so we can consider it and pray about it, but ultimately to do it, you know, and step out in that faith courageously. And not even to say that we don't have a little shred of fear here and there.
Right.
God doesn't take away our humanity when we serve him. You know, and Barry and I were looking at each other, Barry smiling, because he's remembering, you know, the call of God in his life throughout the time we've walked with the Lord.
That's right.
Several decades. And the things God has called us to do. And I relate to Mary.
I do, too, because I look over my shoulder sometimes thinking, well, you must be talking about this guy behind me over here. He's got two PhDs and...
Yeah.
Yeah. This one over here is, I mean, I just know he goes to church 3 or 4 times a week. And what do you want with me? Because I don't see that I measure up. And
yeah.
I think I have a humble spirit. But then I look at Mary and she's probably feeling the same way. But as we go on through the scriptures, she's kind of cool to listen to because she's got more questions.
Oh.
And she wants the information. Give me the information.
Right.
And
right.
Once she gets all the information, we'll find out later on in the scriptures. She's good to go. Okay,
right.
I'm all in. Let's do this. Let's
yeah.
do this.
Yeah, next week we're going to talk about her visit with her cousin Elizabeth, and that's going to be another layer of faith development for her.
And affirmation.
Know. Affirmation, exactly. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to steal our thunder for next week.
No, we'll let those other guys do that.
Really? Let the other guys. But this is, you know, and I would just say at this point, for those who are listening, if you look at the Bible as something you can dig deep into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of us were happy to dig a little hole and see what's beneath the sand, you know.
Right.
But the Bible really invites us to do what Barry and I are doing now, that for you, get in that word and address it, you know, embrace it, mm-hmm. question. You know, there's nothing wrong with questioning the text to find out more of what it's saying.
You've got to have questions. And that's a Jewish way of teaching, by the way.
You know,
the rabbinical way.
Teaching,
ask me some questions. Come on, guys. You've got to have some questions about this. And that's very healthy. That's
exceedingly
healthy because your heart is in love with God.
Yeah.
But your brain needs to be fed, too. You got to get some of this stuff under your belt.
Yeah.
Because your brain sometimes wants to talk your heart out of things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it does all the time.
Like, Barry, yeah. you don't want to do that. And in my case, I was in medicine for many, many years. And when I was called, I dragged my feet a little bit because my brain would say, now, wait a minute. You went to college and you worked your way all the way up to this position. Do you really think it's good for your family? And, you know, and we know who's doing that, right? We know who's
whispering in
your
ear.
And Barry, you know, if you do this, you're not going to be able to pay this bill or that, but you may even have to sell your home. And big deal. Big deal, David, you know, big deal, because everything here is going to burn up anyway, and we already know that the evil one's sentence is ready, and they're warming up the oven, okay? But you've got to get spiritually fed,
absolutely.
And it's all here for you, just waiting page by page. Turn the page, read, question.
Yes,
get into the Word with God. And I will say this, David, and it's kind of a preaching to the choir, so to speak, is all of you out there, before you read your Bibles, please pray to the Holy Spirit for some interpretation and illumination.
That's right.
And inspiration. Because if you just open this up as a history book, you're going to be gravely disappointed.
Because it has some history in it, but it's not meant to be a history book.
It's not just a dusty old book on the shelf.
No.
This is God speaking to you.
And God is showing us tonight through our diving deep into the text, exactly that, making that point, you know, that for instance, one of my coworkers here at the radio station and I were talking yesterday about telling our stories about the power of testimony.
Right.
And that, you know, I can get a lot of good Bible teaching from people, but if I hear a story from someone, a God story, what God's doing in their life, how they met him, you know, what he's been speaking to them about and all this, that it puts flesh on it, you know?
Well, absolutely, because the apostles, the disciples of Christ, they didn't have this text in their hand. That's all they could do was tell the people, wherever they went, what Jesus did for them.
And that's the bottom line for any ministry.
That's right.
You know? Captures the attention of the listener, especially if they're not saved. Well, tonight, we have been reading, if you will, the Mary's testimony.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. It's actually scattered throughout the text, but throughout some of the parts of Luke, especially. But it's not, you know, we're seeing this encounter with the angel and how it responds. And what she did, that's a testimony. It's an expression of her faith. And wherever we read in the Bible how the expression of somebody's faith, it really does inspire us. And I think especially here, because there's a lot of things at work in the call of God delivered by the angel Gabriel to Mary.
Well, you know, David, just the beginning of this, when Gabriel makes the hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you.
Yeah.
That greatly disturbed her. Why do you think that happened? Because she was probably just minding her own business.
Right. Yeah.
Going about her business, doing her thing. Yeah. And to have an angel tell you that the Lord has sent him, you got to be scratching your head saying, oh my, what comes up next?
And then where
are we going with this?
And then, O favored one, which you know, has a particular meaning to it.
Yes, it does.
You know, the God's favor on anyone. I mean, she was not favored above and beyond everybody else that God loved, but because at that particular moment, yes, she was being set apart, consecrated.
Is a great word. That's the word.
For a special work. Obviously, we know that's to carry within her womb the Son of God.
This is Mary's part of the plan.
This is Mary's part of the plan.
No one else's, it's hers.
And she was picked, because God favored her for that role.
Amen.
And that's man. You know, and when I read that, I'm saying, all right, what, you know, I can relate to in terms of what she went through, the call, the mulling over, the desire, you know, she may well have initially thought, man, I don't know if I want to do this, you know, but because she was a woman of faith and she was in the presence of God and this Holy Spirit was there to give her what she needed to properly consider this call and to accept it, to receive it. You know, we talked earlier, this is our life. This is the life of every disciple.
Right.
And, but I think I look there and I get encouragement from reading that story because as a human being, I have a strong sense of what she was facing, what she had to go through,
mm-hmm.
what she may even have feared might occur. You know, you got to know when you're living in the culture what's going to happen.
True. And also she was probably mulling in her mind as she processed this, and you know, it might be a stretch, but she's being told that her son will be the son of the Most High and that he will be given the throne of his father David. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
In those days, in that culture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For a Jewish woman to say, your son, you know, she's probably running through her head, I better get him a good education. I better get him ready. You know, all, she's already feeling this awesome responsibility as a mother anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But to be the mother of this one, oh, my.
But, you know, I have to say, I have to believe that because of the woman of faith that she was,
mm-hmm.
And how she approached that, she would have, at every step along the way, as a mother, the mother of Jesus, she would have lifted him up to God and sought the direction of the Spirit
mm-hmm.
as to what to do for him. At each stage, you know, how is he going to get educated? You know, what are we going to do? Of course, they went to the synagogue and, you know, they participated. He was well-versed in the Jewish scriptures,
right,
the Torah.
Right.
And all the practices, Jewish practices of the day, he was, because they brought him to everything that was supposed to, he was supposed to go to.
That's right. We see that. You know,
we do.
As the story continues.
So we know already that, but this is also something, now that you brought that up, that I have come to realize that God does not, when God puts a call on my life or your life or anybody's life.
Right.
He doesn't expect me to have to draw out a schematic of how that life's going to be lived particularly. He wants me to ask him every step along the way, especially when I'm prompted by the Spirit.
Yes.
You know?
Because if you begin that schematic you're talking about, and a little bit of your own self and an ego starts to slip in.
Absolutely.
And you may say, well, God's given me this incredible talent and these gifts. You know? And,
and it's
funny how the mind works. And I believe the expression you often use, David, is that you're pulling on the leash ahead of God if you do that.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better, but you learn over time. I've learned, as most people do, by the errors that I've committed
mm-hmm.
in running ahead of God.
Yes.
And then being, you know, falling off a cliff. I mean, not literally, but, you know,
sure.
The damage that I've sustained because of making, and God will let you do it. But he's not going to bless you running ahead of him if that's not what he wants. He'll only bless what he wants you to do. So you learn after a while to be more prayerful, not to be so, not to be so impulsive.
That's the right word, because you know, we all are, especially if you're trying to please.
Yeah, exactly.
If you have that personality trait, I just want to please God. I just want to please. Well, that's good. But then when you go off in these little bunny trails to please God, he's standing there waiting. He's so patient, David.
Yep.
He's so patient. But, you know, okay, that's good. Now, come on back. Let's get the job done.
Well, you know, later on, one of these sessions down the road we'll do on the prodigal son, which is in the 15th chapter of Luke, and it's a great parable that speaks right to that, too.
Love that.
So y'all all listening right now, just hang in there, because we're going to get to it after a bit. But
oh, we will. Because
the next few weeks, maybe.
There's so many more things in Luke. Luke is, we shouldn't say that it's our favorite gospel.
Well, they're all favorites, but
there's a lot of meat in this one.
There's definitely a lot. When you talk about digging deep into the Word, you know, I mean, you can keep digging in Luke.
Oh yeah,
you know. So, and that's what we've got. Unfortunately, we have to put up our shovels in a few minutes because our time's almost up.
How'd that happen, David?
Well, we kept talking. You know, that's pretty much how it always happens.
Yeah,
we still have a few minutes left, so. What else is on your heart?
What's on my heart is that whether you're living an ordained life, whether you're pastoring a church, whether you're volunteering every Saturday at a food bank, that's all good. But it comes down to this. You're just a humble servant of God.
Amen.
And never question what God's asking you to do, because he'll always, David, he'll always equip you and get you ready. As long as you're listening to him and you empty out yourself first. That's something that David and I do, and I hope a lot of the pastors out there do. Before you preach the word, You know, you need to say this prayer, Lord, may I decrease while you increase.
Amen.
You know, get, I want to get out of your way.
That's right. Oh, yeah. And yeah. Mary did that. You know,
she did.
Even a young child, of course, she was a little old. She was maybe 14, maybe 15. But in that culture, in that time, that was Marian age.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they were able to have children and all that, and they got married early because they didn't have a long life.
Right.
You know, but still, she was still dealing. She was still young in her faith.
Mm-hmm.
But she gives us the example of what a faithful life looks like.
Mm.
And that, yeah, faithful life, you get sometimes scary calls from God, but at the same time, you have the durable faith to stand on the foundation of your faith, who's Jesus.
And you need that, David, because the devil himself is going to inflict you with all kinds of doubts. And if that doesn't work, he's going to have your family and friends around you calling you a lunatic and all kinds of things because you're saying, I'm just doing what God's asking me to do.
Yeah.
And that will raise some eyebrows on people that lack faith.
Absolutely.
They might even try and take you to the nervous hospital or something, David.
I'm sure that's been attempted. Not in my life, of course, but I got close a couple of times maybe. But yeah, people that don't understand and they see a person living a life of faith and they think it's crazy because they would never do that.
Right.
But the other side is that, you know, that what they don't see is that person trusts God.
Mm-hmm.
To make sure they make it through that experience, to serve him, to do what's right, to be protected. God loves to protect his children. Read the Psalms. There's so much of that in there.
Yes, there is.
Why don't you, would you be willing to pray for our listeners? We're
I'm
about
more
out
than
of
willing.
Time.
I'd but be I'm, honored to pray. Oh,
okay,
my.
For this particular issue of faith.
Oh, Holy Father, we come to you and we pray for strength of faith. We pray that our minds are set on you, not us. We pray that if we are called in any given situation to serve you, according to your will and your plan, that we stand firm and we stand ready to nod our head in the affirmative and say, yes, Lord. That's the deal. Yes, Lord. And yes, we're simply human, Lord, and we have our frailties. Our faith is sometimes fragile. But I pray for everybody listening to this program tonight, David and I included, that when it comes time to step up to bat, to help exercise a plan of God that's going to bring one more person into the kingdom, thy will be done, Lord, thy will be done. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen. I join you in that. Brother, have a good week.
You too.
And we won't see you folks next week, but I hope you'll hear us.
Yes. Thank
God
you.
Bless.
God bless.
Bye.
Good. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.